Chapter 8 Controlling and Related Ideas. What is controlling? What is controlling? If you ask most people this question, in relation to one person controlling others, they might say it is manipulative behavior. When this concept is applied to organizations, it is a functional requirement of the management process. This can be seen in the following definitions of the word controlling taken from the indicated sources. 1. The managerial function of evaluating employee effort and taking corrective action to better ensure the accomplishment of the organization's goals. This was a quote Montana P. and Charnod B. 1993 Management, 2nd ed. Pages 447. 2. The process by which a person, group, or organization consciously monitors performance and takes corrective action. Hellriegel, D. and Slocum, Jr., J.W. 1996 Management, 7th ed. Pages 760. 3. Comparing actual results against expected performance within a predetermined time. This was a quote Luthans F. and Hojets R. 1992 Business 2nd ed. PG 3. 4. Monitoring activities to ensure they are being accomplished as planned and correcting any significant deviations. This was a quote Robbins, S.P. 1996 Organizational Behavior 7th ed. PG 1. All of the above are moderately good descriptions of the controlling process, except for the third definition. Luthans and Hojets, the third definition define the term without including the correction process. I will give my own definition of controlling. To minimize deficiencies in my definition, I will use two paragraphs to define and explain the concept, as follows. Controlling is the process of monitoring the performance of employees or a system and taking corrective action when the performance deviates from the goal or set of standards. The word goal in the definition is used in a very general sense and it means one or more of the following: a specifically defined objective, a loosely defined objective, an objective that was never precisely defined, efforts to reduce overall risk, efforts to reduce a specific risk, efforts to increase overall functionality of a system, efforts to reduce dysfunctionality of a system, etc. The word set of standards means any criteria, mathematical data, benchmark data, rules, norms or customs that are considered relevant to the controlling process. The word employees means in this definition anyone that is being controlled in the management process. The word system means the entire organization or any component that relates to the organization, such as a department, team, group, individual, supplier, distributor, the internal or external environment, the consumers, or any subsystem. The controlling process is essentially the feedback and correction process. That is, a system or subsystem is monitored and corrections are made based on information obtained from the feedback, in such a way as to reach a target goal or to maintain or achieve a set of standards. The controlling process is also found in daily life outside of the organizational setting. That is, when people interact, they consciously or unconsciously are involved in the controlling process as described in the above paragraphs. It is insightful to realize that we all give off controlling signals, which could be in a form of verbalizations or non-verbal cues, such as direct statement, requests, body movements, frowns, smiles, angry expressions, etc. We in effect manage the behavior of the people we interact with to at least some minimal degree, and vice versa. If someone deviates from the generally accepted set of standards, he is likely to get feedback from others that will indicate a correction is required. If someone deviates from the wishes of an individual that he is dealing with, he will also get feedback suggesting a deviation from their desires. Of course, such feedback might be ignored. That is, in daily life, the individual is not always obligated to follow the controlling efforts of others. The controlling process can be better understood if it is broken up into a series of steps, and these steps generally will apply to both the management process and daily life activities. There are a number of ways that this can be done. Montana and Charnod delineated a four-step controlling process, pages 237, as follows. 1. Setting performance standards. Management must decide what to measure and how to measure it in relation to performance. This can involve setting goals and sub-goals that relate to quality and quantity of performance. It can also involve the use of any criteria for a standard of comparison, such as mathematical data or benchmark data. 2. Measuring the performance. Management must decide when and how the performance-related measurements or evaluations are to be carried out. In the simplest case, this can be done by a manager observing the employees and making judgments on his performance. In more complex situations, it can involve quantitative measurements of production rate, profits, increase in sales, automatic computer assessment of work output, etc. 3. Evaluating the performance. The performance is evaluated by comparing the performance standards set in step 1 with the measured or observed performance of an entity that are involved in the controlling process. Note, the word entity means here one of the following: an employee SA group, a department, the entire organization, or any relevant system or subsystem. 4. Making effective use of feedback and taking corrective actions when necessary, when there has been a failure to meet the performance standards. This was a quote. This involves studying the feedback-related information and making corrections to maintain or reach the performance standards. Another way of presenting the controlling process is as follows. 1. A goal or set of standards are delineated for the controlling process. This can include setting mathematical standards that can be measured. For example, if a goal was already set in the planning process to make a new product and market it throughout the United States, then a set of standards or related sub-goals may be set in the controlling process. This can involve the minimum acceptable production rate per employee, quality standards, the maximum allowable defect rate, the maximum cost for each item produced, sales goals, a goal to remain within the budgetary guidelines for production, distribution, and advertising. In addition, standards of behavior might be set, such as rules that relate to the reduction of accidents, or proper behavioral guidelines that are required by law or necessitated by generally accepted ethical standards. This step, 1, can happen on an unconscious level, in situations that are simpler than the above, such as in simple management activities or in daily life interactions. When the situation is relatively complex, as described above with the production of a new product, the goal or standards may involve much conscious deliberation, and it might be written on paper in great detail and or it might be clearly stated verbally to the employees. 2. The entities that are to be controlled are delineated or selected, which can be individuals, a group, a department, a system, or the entire organization. In the management process, as it takes place in organizations, this will usually involve conscious deliberation. In daily life, when the situation is relatively simple, the individuals that are available may be selected with little or no conscious evaluation. 3. The behavior and work performance are monitored. In the simplest situations, such as in daily life, this step may take place on an unconscious level. In more complicated situations, such as the management in organizations, this step is carried out on a conscious level. It can include actual mathematical measurements of work performance in some cases. 4. Corrections are made based on work performance or behavior that deviates from the goal or set of standards. These corrections are usually made by verbal communications in simple situations, which may be coupled with explanatory hand movements and other body language. In daily life situations that are relatively simple, body language might be used. For example, if someone violates a minor social standard, people might frown at him. A concept very closely related to the controlling process is represented by the word controls. Hal Riegel and Slocum define this concept as the mechanisms used to ensure that behavior's performance conform to an organization's rules and procedures. This was a quote, pages 760. Hal Riegel and Slocum, in their book Management, divide controls into two categories, which are preventive and corrective controls. This was a quote. These ideas are discussed in the following two paragraphs. Hal Riegel and Slocum define preventive controls as mechanisms intended to reduce errors and thereby minimize the need for corrective action. This was a quote, pages 586. I am defining the concept with slightly different words, which perhaps slightly widen the concept, as follows. Preventive controls are techniques, equipment or feedback and correction methods, intended to prevent problems. Examples are methods of preventing errors, strategies to prevent loss of market share, methods of protecting machinery from unexpected breakdowns, methods of monitoring plant personnel to prevent employee theft, methods and equipment to prevent fires, any technique to prevent failure, any method used to prevent employees or customers from breaking rules, etc. Hal Riegel and Slocum define corrective controls as mechanisms intended to reduce or eliminate unwanted behaviors or results and thereby achieve conformity with the organization's regulations and standards. This was a quote, pages 586. I am defining this concept with different wording, which perhaps slightly widened its meaning, as follows. Corrective controls are techniques, equipment or feedback and correction methods, intended to deal with problems that already exist. For example, methods of controlling shoplifting, methods of controlling insect infestations, methods of controlling employee absenteeism. I will add to the above the concept of performance controls. I am defining this concept as techniques, equipment or feedback and correction methods, intended to maximize human or systems performance, including the physical or tangible results of the performance, in relation to obtaining a goal. The easiest example is a dancer trying to maximize his performance, in relation to a specific dance sequence. A similar example is an employee trying to maximize his job performance in relation to a specific task. Another example is the feedback and correction process carried out by the engineering department when they are engaged in designing and testing a new product. A manager that is trying to maximize the efficiency and productivity of his organization, with a goal of increasing profits, is still another example of performance controls. A fourth type of control is destructive controls, which I am defining as any control mechanism that is dysfunctional or destructive to the organization. Destructive controls can sometimes be of personal value to specific individuals, such as the unionized employees. An example of destructive controls is a union that monitors the performance of the organization and overestimates the profits, and then demands high salary increases that eventually put the organization out of business. There are a number of entities that serve as control mechanisms for the organization, its subsystems and employees. These controlling entities can be divided into two categories, which are internal and external. Internal control mechanisms are entities created by the organization and its personnel, such as organizational rules and production standards. External controls are controlling entities that exist in the external environment of the organization, such as the preferences of consumers or government regulations. Hellriegel and Slocum listed four basic entities that serve as sources of control, which are the first four items on the following list. I added an additional eight items that are significant sources of control. Stockholder control: pressure from outside sources on organizations to change their behaviors. This was a quote. This is an external control, as described in this quotation. This type of control is usually constructive in nature, but under some conditions it can be destructive. It can go against the interests of one or more of the following under certain circumstances: the people running the organization, the employees, the consumers, and the overall well-being of the organization. When stockholder control is functional, it can be either corrective, destructive, performance, or preventive controls. In small and medium-sized organizations, the stockholders are often the people that run the company, such as the chief executive officer and board of directors. In such cases, the control from stockholders is obviously internal in nature. Organizational control: formal rules and procedures for preventing and correcting deviations from plans and for pursuing goals. This was a quote. This is obviously an internal control mechanism. This can involve corrective and preventive controls. If the formal rules and procedures of the organization are highly dysfunctional, the control can be destructive in nature. Group control: the norms and values that group members share and maintain through rewards and punishments. This was a quote. This is obviously an internal control mechanism, which can be formal or informal in nature. That is, the norms and values can be the result of official or semi-official organizational rules and procedures. Alternatively, they can be unofficial norms and values created by the employees, which can be functional, neutral, or dysfunctional for the organization. Thus, group control can be corrective, destructive, performance, or preventive controls. Individual self-control: the guiding mechanisms that operate consciously and unconsciously within each person. This was a quote. This is a type of internal control, but it is generally not created by the organization. It is the result of the internal beliefs, values, and psychological makeup of the individual. Such controls can help or hinder the organization, depending on how the controls manifest. For example, if the individuals have strong actualized values that relate to honesty and hard work, it will help the organization. However, if the employees have values that relate to maximizing their personal gain at the expense of the organization, the controls would obviously be dysfunctional for the employer. Thus, individual self-control can be corrective, destructive, performance, or preventive controls. Managerial control is usually one of the primary controlling entities in a well-run organization. This can involve corrective, performance, or preventive controls. If management or a specific manager is behaving in a dysfunctional way, it can also involve destructive controls. The consumer can serve as a powerful source of control over the organization. That is, a company that serves consumers can be controlled by consumer demand. This is obviously an example of external control. The control can be corrective, destructive, performance, or preventive controls. The city, state, and federal governments and their laws and regulations can exert considerable control over organizations and their management. This is obviously an example of external control. Such control can be corrective, destructive, or preventive controls. When organizations deal with international trade, foreign governments can control the organization and its management. Such controls can be corrective, destructive, or preventive controls. Technology can serve a controlling function. This can involve electronic technology controlling machines. It can also involve computer technology monitoring the performance of employees, which serves a controlling function because workers are aware that their job performance is being monitored. The organizational culture can serve as a source of control, with its related set of norms, values, and beliefs. This is obviously a type of internal control, which can be corrective, destructive, performance, or preventive controls. The unofficial subculture of an organization can serve as a source of control. However, the unofficial subculture can control employees in ways that are counterproductive to the organization in some cases. For example, restrictive production norms can be a primary component of the organizational subculture of the factory workers. This can be seen in Chapter 12, on the Hawthorne Studies. Unions are another source of control. This type of control can be classified as external or perhaps in between external and internal. The control provided by unions is generally focused on the well-being of the employees. As far as the entire organization is concerned, such controls can be corrective, destructive, or preventive controls. Thus, it is apparent that controls do not always work in favor of the organization, and they are not always intentionally created by management. In some cases, the controls evolve from daily interaction of people involved with the organization, or they can be created by external agencies or outsiders. This suggests the question, how do you create effective controls that work in favor of the organization? Hellriegel and Slocum, pages 588, suggest the following. 1. For what desired behaviors and results should organizational controls be developed? This was a quote. What are the factors that should be controlled? 2. What are the costs and benefits of the organizational controls required to achieve the desired behaviors and results? This was a quote. How much will it cost, and what will be the benefits, if the factors listed from step 1 are controlled? 3. What are the costs and benefits of utilizing alternative organizational controls to obtain the desired behaviors and results? This was a quote. Are there more effective or economical alternatives that can be used to achieve the controlling objectives? The general idea of the above can be stated by asking the questions, what do you want to control? Why do you want to control it? How do you want to control it? What will be the cost-benefit ratio for the control mechanism S? Are there more economical ways of achieving the same objective? An interesting idea is suggested from the above paragraphs. The organization and its management apparently does not always create the controls. Some are external and have different interests than management. 3 of the primary controlling entities, besides management, involved with organizations, are 1 the stockholders, 2 the employees, and 3 the consumers. These controlling entities are stakeholders that generally have different interests. They may be in conflict with each other as well as with management. The primary objective of the stockholders, of most profit-making organizations, is they want to maximize their return on their investment. That is, they generally want to make as much money as possible. Employees generally want good working conditions, good benefits, and they usually want to make as much money as possible also. The consumers usually want to get products and services of the highest possible quality at the lowest possible prices. Thus, the production and economic gains created by an organization must be divided amongst 3 primary stakeholders. How such a division takes place is likely to be the result of the relative power position of the stakeholders. This idea is discussed in the following 4 paragraphs. If the stockholders have maximum power, the employees will probably get relatively low wages and little benefits, and working conditions will be based on maximizing financial gain, even if it puts the employees at a personal disadvantage. In addition, the consumers will have to pay relatively high prices for the goods or services produced by the organization. The situation is likely to manifest when there is an excessive labor force available to the organization and when there is little or no competition from other organizations, and the product or service is in very high demand. When the employees have maximum power, profits might be reduced and the prices for the products or services produced by the organization might be relatively high. This can happen because employees' salaries will be high, working conditions and benefits will be greatly influenced by the desires of the employees. Employees may be retained even if they are not really needed. The costs that result from high salaries, benefits, unnecessary employees, will be passed on to the consumer. The situation might manifest when the employees are in short supply. If the product is also in high demand and there is little competition, it will give the employees additional power, because it will be easy to pass on the costs to the consumer. Employees can also have much power as a result of an organizational philosophy and culture that favors employees, or as a result of the controlling dynamics of unions. This can cause financial problems for the organization, if market conditions do not permit the passing on of the costs to the consumers. The consumers have maximum power when there is a very large amount of competition between organizations providing the same product or service. In addition, if there is an oversupply of the product or service, the consumer will even have greater power. The situation is often seen in contemporary organizations in certain manufacturing industries, and in the farming industry when there is a surplus of a specific crop. When the consumer has maximum power, prices are relatively low, and profits and salaries might be kept at a lower level than they would be otherwise. Under such conditions, many companies may fail because they cannot obtain an adequate return on their investment. The companies may reduce their workforce to prevent bankruptcy. In conclusion, it should be apparent from the above that there are many potential problems associated with the controlling process and with control mechanisms. If the controlling process is inadequate, there is a high probability of a failure in relation to goal attainment. There are many problems that can manifest as a result of such inadequacies. The following is a list of questions that can help with such problems. Note, the following six questions are numbered because they represent a series of connected ideas in relation to the leadership process. 1. What is your primary goal, as created in the planning process? What performance standards or criteria you have to achieve in the controlling process to achieve your primary goal? 2. What do you have to control to achieve your primary goal? Is it an employee, a group of employees, a group of volunteers, a group of friends, a department, a system, a subsystem, the entire organization? Do you have the capability and power to control this entity? Can you obtain help from a co-leader if you do not have a capability to control the entity? 3. What type of performance do you have to measure or evaluate to control the relevant entity? Will simple observation of behavior be an adequate measure of performance? 4. Are you ready to compare the performance standards you set in step 1 with the performance standards you measured? Do the standards match the actual performance? Are the performance standards achieved? Are the standards you set realistic, or are they too high or too low? 5. What corrections are required based on actual performance when compared to the standards you set? Can you improve the performance? What changes would be required to improve the performance? If the performance remains the same, will you reach your goal? 6. Based on the actual performance, how long will it take to reach your goal? How much money will it cost to reach your goal based on the actual performance? Is the performance adequate from the perspective of time and money? Is there any way you can speed up progress or reduce costs? Are there any preventive, corrective, or performance controls that you can use that will help you with the situation you are dealing with? If so, what are these controls? Are there any destructive controls interfering with your well-being or the well-being of the organization? If so, what are these destructive controls? What are all the possible ways of neutralizing or circumventing the destructive controls? What is the best way to neutralize these controls? What are the relevant controlling mechanisms involved with your problem? Are these controlling mechanisms intentionally created by you, your representatives, or the organization? Are there controlling mechanisms that evolved over time? Are the controlling mechanisms functional? Are there any dysfunctional controlling mechanisms involved with the system? What type of controlling influence is provided by the stockholders? How can you deal with this controlling entity? What is the overall effect of the organizational controls, including formal rules and procedures? Can they be improved? Are there any group-related controls involved with the system? Are these controls functional or dysfunctional? Are the individuals involved with you and/or the system self-controlled? In what way are these controls functional? In what way are they dysfunctional? What types of controls are provided by management? In what way are these controls functional? In what way are they dysfunctional? What is the quality of the controls offered by each individual or manager involved with the system? Do any of these individuals produce exceptionally functional controls? Do any of these individuals produce dysfunctional controls? How can you remove the dysfunctional controls? What is the specific nature of the controls produced by the consumers of your product? How can you respond to these controls in such a way as to satisfy consumer demands and make a good profit? What types of controls are provided by the government? Are these controls functional or dysfunctional from your perspective, or from the point of view of your organization? Is your organization controlled as a result of foreign trade? How can you deal most effectively with these controls and the related set of requirements? Do you or your organization use any technological controls? Do these controls serve their function well? Can they be improved? Does your organization's culture offer functional controls? How can you improve these controls? Are there any subcultures involved with your organization? Are these subcultures functional or dysfunctional from the perspective of organizational well-being and goal attainment? What is the controlling effect of union members on your organization? How can you deal most effectively with this controlling force? What controls can you create that would increase the overall functionality of the system? What needs to be controlled in the system, and how can you create cost-effective controls? Is there any conflict between controlling forces, such as management, employees, stockholders, consumers? If so, how can you alleviate these problems? Which stakeholders have the most power? Is it management, the employees, the stockholders, or the consumers? Can you list the stakeholders in descending order of power?